Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to another episode of D-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss. And today I am joined by my friend, Lauren Browning. Lauren is the co-founder of Ricky Rum. It's a swimsuit line that is 100% sustainable. It's made from 100, their suits are made from 100% recycled materials. The exciting thing about Lauren, beyond making a swimsuit that I love so much, is that Lauren and I go way back. We both worked at Business Insider, and when she came to work for the company, we got buddied up as BI buddies, where I was her lifeline if she had questions, like, you know, where's the bathroom and how does the printer work? We have remained friends. It's been like, what, 6-7 years, Lauren?
7 years.
At least, yeah. And now she is off on her own. She's about to go to business school. And while having a full-time job, while planning her wedding, which happened during COVID, and she just got back from her honeymoon, she has launched, 3 years running now, this incredible business. And I wanted to have her on the show. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you, Caroline. I'm so flattered and honored by that lovely introduction. Thank you.
I'm so happy to have you. I want to make it clear you did not have a COVID wedding. You had a small family only gathering, but you just got back from your incredible honeymoon. Are you jet lagged?
So jet lagged. I have slept, I think, 6 hours in the last 48 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Fell asleep at 8 last night. Wyatt and I could not stay awake. We tried to make it later, but we both passed out by 8. And then he has the audacity to go to the bathroom at 2:30 in the morning.
Wyatt, just piss the bed. Do not literally move. Did it wake you up? Are you a light sleeper?
I'm the lightest sleeper. Such a light sleeper. He said he actually did consider doing that, peeing the bed, because he knows, like, he doesn't want to poke the bear. So I've been up since 2:30 this morning.
Oh my gosh.
So happy to be here. This is the bright spot in my day after no sleep.
Well, I'm really happy to have you. Lauren recently, so you and Marissa started Ricky Rum, which is named after your dad, your late father, in 2016, mm-hmm. but you officially launched your first line in 2018. And since then, you guys have done like a ton of, it's just the two of you, you've done a ton of growing and a ton of changing. And you recently sent me one of your new suits from this summer's line. I love it. It's really comfortable.
Yay.
You did a really, really
great
job.
I'm so glad to hear that.
It is, I don't have any like ribbed suits. And when I saw that you guys did a ribbed suit, I was like, oh, I have to try it. So it's like a high-waisted ribbed bottom, and a top that's a little like a high neck cut. And I think I did mix and match, right? I think I did one bottom from one and one top from the other. And
I sent you the Katama suit.
No, I
think
did the Katama, the full Katama.
Yep, the full Katama.
The full Katama.
And the ribbed material is my favorite. It's so soft.
I mean, mm-hmm. I ripped open that package. I wore it in the hot tub. It's super flattering. Like, usually I actually don't even like a cup, like a little padded cup, but it doesn't even feel like padding. It just feels like it's like a little bucket for my boot, like a boob bucket.
Exactly, like a little boob bucket.
Yeah, like a little boob purse.
No, that's a perfect way of describing it. I agree. I don't like when things are overly padded. I feel like they can almost make, when there's too much padding, it can almost make you look like that's not my chest.
Yeah. Like a big sausage chest. Which,
right, exactly.
Just like one big padded. And especially when you have like a bigger boob like I do, like sometimes you're like, what? Like, why are you giving me padding? Like, I have more than enough boob. Like, I'm not looking to like increase.
There's enough to go around.
There's enough to go around. Yeah. I thought you guys did such a nice job. It's a really great suit. And I know that this was such a labor of love. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show is that, like, I have no idea. And I assume G-Thanks listeners, some of them don't have any idea. I want to, like, hear from you, like, that real nitty gritty. Now, I know I had tried a one piece from you guys, like, maybe two summers ago. You were still in your, like, figuring it out period. And
how much Caroline or extra small that summer, like, would have fit my 3-year-old niece. The size she was so
was old. That a manufacturing issue? Like, what happened and how do you fix it?
That is a great question. So we did our samples to save money mm-hmm. at the time. One-sided, and when you make the suit double-sided, it totally affects the stretch, which you think that I would have thought that, but I have zero experience in fashion design, zero experience in swimwear, anything like that. Sewing, don't know how to sew. Uh-huh. So that was something that we didn't think about. So when we did our samples, you know, one-sided, they fit fine, and then we made them reversible and it totally warped the stretch. Mm. So that was a huge learning point for us 2 years ago. We did a small run that year, had so much good feedback and constructive feedback, and we're like, okay, like we're designing. And when I say we, my co-founder Marissa is a friend from home. She's amazing, and yeah, you guys should check her out. You'll see her pop up on our Insta every once in a while, mm-hmm. but she's fantastic. But yeah, we just were trying to figure out, you know, how to do this. Like, we want to design from a consumer perspective because that's what we are. We're consumers who are unhappy and we're like, let's try to solve this. So there's been a million learning points along the way. But yes, I remember when you ordered that, and when I got those in, especially those extra smalls, I was like, okay, I'm going to give this. These are meant to be for millennial women, but this could fit my toddler niece.
This is for Claire, who's 4.
This is for Claire.
yep. I loved that suit so much, but you're right. That was the issue with it, was I had gotten the reversible one piece, loved the color, loved everything about it, but then it fit incorrectly. And I thought, like, there was nothing wrong with it from like a, because I knew I was coming in at a, you know, an early days for you guys. And what I really appreciated was like that you wanted feedback, that you asked for feedback. And that's something I so just like would not have thought about, because we had an episode a couple months ago, actually probably longer than that, with a woman, Cora, who does like lingerie reviews and talks about like bra fits and underwear fits or whatever. And what I learned from that conversation and what I think I'm getting from you is like, it is so much harder to fit a bra or a bathing suit or a pair of underwear than anyone thinks. Like, it seems like it should be so easy because it's like minimal fabric and it's like, well, it fits your body, so it's like it just fits to your body. But it is actually like way harder than anyone
so much harder
thinks.
And like, I mean, you think, right, there's elastic in it, yes, you think that, oh, that's easy, it'll stretch to everyone. Like, it does not
totally
stretch the way you think it's going to,
right?
Yeah.
And with bras, it's like band size, and that's why no one knows their size and no one knows how to measure. And like, how original bras and I assume original bathing suits were like made to fit like a specific like standard of sizing that has like absolutely changed. And if you're not the one, you know, making the suit yourself, there's so much of that you have to communicate to your, you know, your manufacturer. And you know, my favorite suit is my $25 one from Amazon. Like, that,
yes,
is my tried and true.
I actually bought that one.
Well, how do you feel about it?
It doesn't, the top fits me, the bottom doesn't fit me, right?
That's so interesting. Will you wear the top with your own bottoms?
Yeah, I'll mix and match. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do that. But no, it's funny that you say that though. Like, it is so hard to fit a suit. So the reason why it worked this year is because I just made my own size chart.
Right.
I said, I'm not going off of like what anyone else is doing. I actually compiled like, I don't know, 40, 50 different size charts and then started asking my friends for measurements. And I was like, I'm just going to make my own because nothing out there is universal or standard. So I was like, you know what? We're just going to make our own size chart this year and we're going to start from scratch and it's going to be great.
That's amazing. And I love that you use the word, the two words, universal and standard, because like our favorite brand, Universal Standard, kind of does the same thing, which is that like, what is the size chart that we're all working off of? Like, this is not...
It doesn't make any
sense. It doesn't make any sense. And also we talked about this all the time. We talk about this all the time on the podcast. Like every store is different. So like once you master like what your size is in one store, you're like, okay, I'm going to the next store. And they're like, well, no, that's not your size here. And you're like, it should be my size everywhere. Like this should be
everywhere.
This should be it. You guys did such an awesome job. I know that you became more size inclusive this summer, which I appreciate as someone in a like a smaller plus size body, but I can see the direction you guys are heading in, which is like more suits to fit more bodies. What do you make of the whole idea of, you know, of companies who say, well, it's too expensive to include such a range of sizes? You know, what's your approach to that?
I think that's bullshit. The average woman size in the US is like a 14 or a 16, I believe. And so how can you just, if that's the average, you're catering to such a small window. And we wanted to extend sizes even more so in the future. We wanted to like make sure that this new size chart that we created actually worked before we really expanded into different sizing. We didn't even do an extra small this year. I've never sold an extra small in the past 3 years.
Okay, that is so interesting, because you would think by the amount of extra small things out there that like everyone is an extra small. I would assume you would
have sold more
extra larges.
I have sold, so I've sold more extra larges than extra smalls.
I mean, that's very telling about, you know, the landscape of bodies versus what the fashion industry thinks the landscape of, because actually, I mean, look, and no shade and no hate at all to extra smalls. There are plenty of petite extra smalls out there, but you see extra small options in a way that suggests the majority of people are fitting into an extra small.
I think it's laughable when I'm on a website shopping for clothes and they I've seen like three X's in front of the small now.
Extra, like, extra small. I'm like, who is that for? Like, once again,
right?
It's Claire sized stuff. Claire, by the way, you guys, if you didn't catch that, is Lauren's niece, who is like in kindergarten. Is she in kindergarten yet?
She's starting kindergarten in September. So she just finished up preschool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kudos to me for, I like have now like,
I'm so impressed.
Internalized Claire's trajectory of life that I know exactly how old she is.
Caroline, you have kept up with Claire.
I have kept
up. My sister's Instagram hashtag for her is keeping up with Claire, and you have kept up.
I have kept up with Claire since the beginning, the early days. it's funny. You know, when you asked me what size I wanted for my suit, I had said, I think that I said the largest size you had, just because, you know, I tend to be in like the 14, 16 range when it comes to bathing suits, because there's a little bit more stretch. And you said, okay, you should size down. And I was like, no, trust me. And then you were kind of right. Like, I think when I get my next suit, like when I go purchase the Nantucket suit, which I'm eyeing, I think I'll probably go down a size, which means that your largest size probably fits like an 18, 20. Are you thinking about expanding to an even bigger range of plus for next season?
Definitely. And a big reason I want to do that is because of Katie Storino, who I learned about through you. I love her. She's so fun to follow, and she's really encouraging brands to like, why not go up to size from like 2 to 32? So I think that because we're small, I'm trying to limit it to 5 sizes right now, just because we have to do smaller production runs.
Right. And you want to make sure you get it right so that you can keep expanding.
Exactly. And that's because we're small and self-funded, you know, a lengthier process than some of the bigger companies could do. But It just is mind-boggling to me that they don't do it with all the resources they have. Anyways, that's a different
No, it's true. I mean, some of the brands she calls out, I'm like, I know you guys have money. So, like, what's the deal? Like right. Tory Burch, make my size. Like, I'm pretty sure Tory Burch isn't, like, considered a scrappy startup. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Tory Burch, please, Tory Burch, tell me you have the money.
Also, if you want the Nantucket suit, just text me. I have a connection.
I so appreciate the hookup, but I'm so happy with the Katema suit that I'm like, just take my money. I really like it. I'm really excited. So the other thing I wanted to ask was, like, sustainability was a huge part of your mission. And mm-hmm. all of your suits are reversible, which is really cool. And they're all made out of 100% like recyclable materials, which is like stuff that would end up going in the ocean, like plastic bottles, like fish nets. I have the dumbest mm-hmm. question, but I know that you can answer it. How does a plastic bottle become a bathing suit? And how did you Lauren Browning make a swimsuit out of plastic bottles? These are the things that I think was like they were like Sesame Street vignettes that I like didn't pay attention to. And now I'm like, you know, when they were like, here's how crayons are made. And I would be like, oh, this is boring. Like, bring back Cookie Monster. I don't want to hear how crayons are made. And now at like in my mid 30s, I'm like, so how are crayons made? So I want to know, how do you make sure, like, what are you doing to ensure that these suits actually are 100% made of recyclable materials? And like, how do you even like begin to kind of structuring that, like manufacturing, logistic, the whole thing?
No, great question. I had the same one because you see it everywhere now, like sustainable materials, we're made of sustainable materials, we're eco-friendly. But you're like, how? Like I'm drinking out of a plastic water bottle and it looks nothing like.
Yeah, this is not a bathing suit. Yeah, like how?
Not a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very smart question. I had the same one. So it goes back to how you mentioned, like, we formed in 2016, but we didn't launch until 2018. It took us 18 months to find sustainable fabric. We went into it being like, we want to be sustainable. Like, that's really important to us because the fashion industry causes so much pollution, and we were not about to, you know, if we're starting something, building it on our own, we want to do everything as, like, in our opinion, like, off on the right foot from the start. Like, if we have this opportunity to build something, like, let's be really cognizant of what we're building. So it took a really long time to find this fabric, and we almost gave up too. So, like, this is impossible.
Tell me about that. Why did you almost give up? What roadblocks were you running into? Like, what was happening?
The fashion industry is stuck in a pre-internet time. It is so hard to find suppliers. Setting up a supply chain is actually a big reason why I decided to quit my full-time job, pursue Ricky Rum full-time, and go to business school, because I've always wanted to pursue Ricky Rum full time, but there's just certain things like supply chain management that are way above my head. And I finally like stumbled across, I went to Mood in New York City. Do you remember from Project Runway, they all would have to go to Mood to get their fabric before they made garments?
That was like the Whole Foods, like the way that Whole Foods is for Top Chef, when they're like, you have 30 minutes at Whole Foods. Like all the designers would go to Mood to get their like buttons and their rolls of fabric. I totally remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to Mood. I was like, you know what? Let's go to Mood.
You're like, where do I go? I go to Mood. Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
My one Project Runway is the reason I went there. And this was after, like, you know, doing a lot of online research and coming up short. So I went there and I didn't find anything that I liked, but someone kind of like pulled me aside and was just like, if this is what you're looking for, you should try this. And I was like, wait, what? It's like, why is this so like secretive back alley? So there's this company called Carvaco that's based out of Italy that makes sustainable fabric. So that's where this person pointed me. They had a small office in New York. I went there in person and I looked at their swatch book. And then I, of course, was like, okay, so how does this actually work? So they actually have they work with ocean conservation charities with this as well. And they also have like a team of divers that go and like Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Whoa. I bet a lot of people don't know that. They literally like...
I didn't know that.
It kind of feels like lip service in a way. You know, like if you... I kind of thought it was like, well, you know, not the way that you were saying it, but like every company that says, you know, something's made of plastic bottles, I just assume like, you know, you're projecting the, like you're using plastic bottles and because you're using them to like, you know, make this material, it means they won't end up in the ocean. But you're saying there are people who literally take what is in the ocean out of the ocean. Mm-hmm. That's,
yeah,
that is crazy to me. That's cool.
It's great. Yeah, it's super cool. And so our fabric is made up of stuff, like you said, like plastic water bottles, discarded fishing nets, but also like recycled fabrics that would have otherwise just gone into a landfill. Mm. What they do is they can kind of, I don't know if melt is the right word, but they get everything down to a certain composition and are able to turn it into a fiber, like a thread. And then they... Wow. are able to make it into a fabric. I should be able to speak about that a little bit more eloquently. So
no,
it's actually it's kind of hard process.
Yeah, no, it feels like it's kind of like it makes sense why I have that question. It's like it doesn't seem like it's a thing that can happen, but like clearly it is.
Right, and I was kind of like blown away when I actually learned about what the process was really like, and also, you know, I feel like a lot of companies like. This product that we're selling is made out of recycled materials, but for us, like I said, since we're building from the ground up, there's no rules here. We're just making it up as we go. Our material is sustainable, but all of our tags, the liners in the suits, the packaging that the suit comes in, all of that is also made out of either recycled paper. Our mailers are actually biodegradable. And then even like the poly bags, which are the plastic bags that the suits get shipped to us in, which are like super bad for the environment. Those are actually biodegradable as well. They're made out of like soy. So we really were like, if we're going to say we're sustainable, we can't just like do this halfway, like everything about what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And are there rules or laws in business about, you know, what happens if a company says we're 100% sustainable or we use 100% recyclable materials and it turns out that they don't?
That's a good question. I actually don't know, but I bet there would be some sort of fine because you can't mislead your customers like that.
Yeah, like a Better Business Bureau situation.
Exactly.
That's so cool. Well, I love it. I'm so excited that like you feel like you kind of hit your stride this season and it means that you're going to expand in sizing and just like feeling like you're comfortable with the size charts that you made. And I think it says a lot for a small business, especially, you know, two women who like, you know, up until not even a couple months ago, like really recently, you still had a full-time job. You were like, you know, like this wasn't your full-time. This was your passion project. And you kept this passion project going now for almost 5 years, actually five years exactly. And now, and you're really feeling now like you're kind of like on your game. Did you expect it to take 5 years to feel like you would hit your stride?
That's a really good question. I didn't put a time limit from the start. I guess I just never pictured myself not having a full-time job. And this was always kind of like this little thing I did on the side. But it started growing. Yeah. And it also makes me happy. And I don't get me wrong. My old job was amazing. The people I worked with, like, I'll be in touch with for a really long time. Totally. I mean, I'm still talking to you from our first job.
Multiple jobs ago. Yeah, absolutely.
And when you did the intro, it actually reminded me, remember when we'd go to the gym before work and just like walk on the treadmills together? That was so fun.
Yeah, Lauren and I had a 2 week long thing where we would like meet at the New York Health and Racquet Club on 23rd and 6th and like gossip on the treadmill walking like 1.5 miles an hour, which was the best.
And we would
go to lunch and it was really, really fun. And like, that was such a long time ago, and you really like
passion projects while
we
you
both come a long way.
We've both come like, a long way. Look at me. Look at me come talking. But I get it. And I've been there too. And I think a lot of listeners can relate. Like, you know, they say like, you know, do what you love, but even the stuff that you love is still work. And when you're self-funding a project, and I sometimes think of writing a book as a self-funded project because when you write a book, you can't, unless you're like an Ellen Hildebrand or, you know, Eat, Pray, Love. Those are the two authors I can think of off the top of my head. Awesome. Awesome job. Unless you're people who like you're in the top, you know, 0.5% of writers who can just say, hey, I have an idea. And a publishing company's like, sure, do it. Here's your advance. You have to write the book before you can get the money. And so a lot of that is like working for free, right? You're like putting your heart and soul into this project that you're not getting paid to do. And a lot of times you're thinking like, you know, am I wasting my time? Is this a good use of my time?
Right.
Like, could I be doing something else that's a little bit more lucrative, a little faster? And I think it's amazing that you kept going until you felt like you really got it right. And based on my hot tub time with my Ricky Rum suit, I feel like you really did get it right. And I'm excited to see what's next for you guys.
Thank you. No, it's so true. Like, you're like, should I have stayed in the job that, you know, had great benefits and was paying me well? But it wasn't, I was getting stretched too thin. I wasn't giving my all to either.
Yep.
And I've only been jobless. Well, full-time jobless for the past 6 weeks. And honestly, I have like this new energy and I am working on Ricky Rum 7 days a week, minus the honeymoon where Marissa really took over, which was amazing. But I'm so energized by it and it's so much fun. But I will say like there are moments daily for the most part where like major imposter syndrome sneaks in and you're like, who am I to start a swimwear company? Like, who do I think I am? So it's just like working through that constantly, saying, you know what, every person who started something, or rarely has someone started something where they were already like this expert in it. They start something because they see a need or they have a passion, and you just have to keep going forward. And like you said about proving yourself as a writer, and you know, unless you're like the Ellen Hildebrand where you get the advance, like same thing with starting a company, like you're self-funding it. Like, you really have to, it means so much to you because like it's, everything that you have is going into it.
Yeah.
And you have to prove to people why they should invest in you as well.
And I will say, shout out to Ellen Hildebrand, who did not start as, you know, the top like beach read book author. She has said numerous times in numerous interviews with me and with other people about how her first like five books like totally flopped. Like, imagine writing like five whole books and like nothing happens. You kind of assume after that like you just don't, you're not good at this. Like, this isn't, you know, like if you write five books and not one of them goes anywhere, like, I don't know. For me, I would be like, maybe I am, this is not my calling. But, you know,
I'm so glad that wasn't her reaction.
Totally.
Because I am obsessed with her.
Who isn't? We love her. But she had a hit, and then all of a sudden everyone started reading, you know, her back catalog. And I mean, that was kind of what happened with me. Like, you know, her 11th book, I think I found in Target. And then I was like, what else has she written? And I realized 10 more books. And I think when it's very hard to be like, oh yeah, no, just keep going, because sometimes there is a point where you're like, at what point do I give up? At what point do I become a realist and say, this isn't working for me? And I think that like, because so much of what we hear is the success stories, like I always think of Leslie Odom Jr., who played Aaron Burr in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Like, that was his last, he basically said like, that was my last audition before I just like gave up and like got a real job and like went on with my life. Like, you know, how long do you spend before you're like, this, no one's hiring me? Like, how, you know, how can I, this is my dream and this is what I want to do, but I'm not doing it. And then all of a sudden, you know, your life changes. So I think especially with writing books, with auditioning for shows, with creating an item of clothing that you really hope hits its audience, you're like, well, if I give up now, like, what if it's the next one? You know, like, what if it's like one more iteration of this, and then I have my hit. And so I totally get it. So like, it's no small accomplishment to have stuck with it for so long, to have tried so many different things and to have found success where you are right now. And you also didn't just quit your job. You're going to business school.
Yes. And thank you. I really appreciate that. Cause I, like I said, I feel like I have like this inner conflict totally. At least once a day. Totally. Don't we all?
We all do. Yeah.
But yeah, I decided business school was the right move because I guess that's a kind of the realist in me creeping up a little bit, saying like, okay, if I need to give this a real shot and the business school I'm going to will let me work on my company and have students work on it with me, which would be great because there's only two of us right now. And we're doing the job of like 50 different people.
Very cool.
So I thought that was a good opportunity. Yeah. So that kind of looked great. And then I was like, if this doesn't work out, I'll have an MBA and we'll be able to get a job.
That's right. But I have to know, what item did you bring to G Thanks Just Bought It?
So I brought the back buddy.
The back buddy.
The back buddy.
Okay.
It is a contraption. It is funky looking.
Okay.
It is maybe like, it's a giant S shape and it's probably 3 feet long. I would say
a 3 foot long giant. I have to Google this while we're talking because I'm like
a 3 foot long S.
Okay, is it like a Shark Tank product? Like the back buddy.
I actually didn't know if it was on Shark Tank.
Let's say
the back buddy came into my life a couple Christmases ago. So Wyatt was reading this book called Tribe of Mentors, which I still haven't read. It looks like an encyclopedia and. I'm the slowest reader in the world. So I was like, that's not for me. But he was reading about this one guy who swears by this product. He had them in like every room of his house, like in his bathroom, in his office, in his car. Cause he's a guy who loves massages. My back is constantly in knots. Like I love a good massage. So Wyatt and I were doing $25 Christmas gifts or $30 Christmas gifts that year because we were on a budget. And because all my money was going to Ricky Rem.
Sure.
And we're like, okay, let's do $25 Christmas gifts. And he gives me this thing and I don't really know what to say because it looks like a torture device. I'm like, oh, thanks, honey.
Yeah. You're like, what is this about? Okay.
What are we doing here? And it's actually been the best present I've ever gotten. All the different knobs, like there's a little booklet that shows you how to use it. And it just, if you like a deep tissue massage, if you just have like knots that will not get out and your partner or friend or whoever is sick of rubbing your back, this is the thing for you.
Wow.
And it is just like it, like you hook it around your shoulder and you just like go to town on that knot. And it's like a miracle device. Like I want more of them. I want them in every room of my house.
Can you ever get it wrong? Like I'm afraid with my back that I like will like fuck it up more. So like, okay. So I'm looking at a picture of it. I have seen these before because I used to do physical therapy and like, I know that these were there. 12-page manual included. Okay. So
there's a 12-page manual.
11 knobs in 3 different shapes. It's a full body. Does it help your lower back?
Yes, okay. I like to use there's like these two knobs that you can put on either side of your spine, and I do that on my lower back, and I think it feels really good.
Wow, I never thought these are the things that I'm like, I would see, and I would be like, that looks scary. So what?
It is scary. Oh, it's super scary.
And I love that this was Wyatt's Christmas gift. This is exactly the kind of gift like Dan would get me, like so practical, like where am I supposed to put this? But like so good too. You know what I mean? Like no jewelry, you know, no like nothing sexy. Like here's this back massager. Okay, so I'm going to watch this YouTube. It just got really loud on my end. Okay. So I just put on this YouTube video that shows like how to use it. Wow. Okay.
One knob that's really pointy that I'm still too afraid of, and I don't use that one. But all the other ones, I can attest, have just like relieved so much pressure in my back.
Do you have to move it? Like, what is the what's the movement of it though? Like, what is it? Like, okay, so say you wake up, your back's a little like from your sleep, or like maybe you know all the flights that you took on your way back from your honeymoon sort of like triggered some pain in your back. How do you use, like, what, take me through the routine of like, okay, I pick it up and I do this and then this is what I do and for how long?
So for me, I get a lot of tension in my upper back near my neck, and there's like one knob that like I just put it in like the spot that's hurting me, and I really don't move it that much. It's more of just like applying pressure and like slowly moving in a circle, I guess.
Okay.
So it just kind of hits the knot at the center and just kind of releases all the tension.
And how long does it take?
It works. It's weird. I will do it. I mean, like, well, you have to do it yourself. So, like, I get tired.
Can Wyatt do it for you? Like, can another person use the back buddy on you, or is it a true?
Yes.
So, okay.
No,
okay.
Someone can use it on you.
Okay.
It might be a little awkward, but he has, like, when I couldn't get the right angle, he helped me out.
That's so cute.
Well, like, it's either that he does that or he gives me a back massage every day. Like, that's just where,
sure,
you know,
look, that's one marriage. Or the other. Yeah, for sure.
That's marriage. So, cause yeah, I've always had like back issues. Who doesn't?
Right.
And it's just nice to have that, daily massage.
Wow.
So, it's just, yeah, it's a slow movement. I'll do it for like 10 minutes and then I'll kind of stretch my back out and then I feel so much better.
Huh? I mean, I just like, I usually get a lot. So I'm going to brag a little bit here, if you don't mind. last time I was at physical therapy, my physical therapist said, and I quote, "I have never seen a body so tense. Every single muscle in your body is, is tight. How do you live like this?" And I was like, thank you so much for asking. yeah. So apparently I am like the eighth wonder of the world in terms of not loose body.
Caroline, we gotta fix that.
I know. I need to put myself in like a chamber that's like just gonna shake me. Could the back buddy like replace that whole like process of like, I don't know.
I think
like
so.
A floor exercise. Like, do you do it like standing up? Like, it's a standing up thing.
You can sit down. You can stand up, as long as you can like get it to reach where you need it to. And hurts so good. It's funny you say that because I've literally said those exact words about the back buddy to Wyatt.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I'm in so much pain, but it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, you're like, don't stop. This rules. Also,
don't stop.
I'm dying. Yeah. Like, I was like screaming in like ecstasy, I guess is like the only way that I could say it. Like, I didn't want her to stop, but it also really fucking hurt.
Really hurt. Yep. No, that's exactly what this is. It's like made for people, I think, like us who carry a lot of tension. Yours is in your lower back.
Yep.
Mine's up near my neck.
Okay.
And I think that's what it's not for people who, like, if you want to go get a massage, you want like the light touch. Like, you want the massage where they're like walking on your back, where they're putting their elbow in. Like, if that's you, this is for you. If you like the light little touch, mm-hmm. This is not for you.
Okay. This is like a strong woman's adventure.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I'm looking. They also they also have like the foot massagers. Those are the other things, like, you know, when you're walking on the like those Adidas sandals with like the little like nubs that people used to wear in the shower. Those like always really hurt me.
Always.
But they were good for your feet. Yeah, this is very interesting. This, I feel like someone I knew had that. Like, it's definitely one of those things that like I would have thought this was like a coat rack or
you know. It's super bizarre looking.
Yeah.
And it does take up space, but what's nice is since it's an S shape, I just hang it in my closet.
Yes.
Just right on the bar.
Yep.
So it can be stored easily. And I think that you either get a really negative or really positive reaction to it. Like, my mom used it and she does not like a strong, like, deep tissue.
Okay.
Pull, and she was like, whoa, what is this? And then I've had other friends, my sister, she's like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like,
okay.
It just depends. It's not for everyone.
Okay.
But if you do carry a lot of tension in your back, I think it'll be your new best friend.
If you do carry a lot of tension in your back, and if you've also like experienced a deep tissue massage and it really helped you, this is a way to do it for way cheaper. I can't wait to try this.
This is also not to be confused with the massager that Kate Bayer.
Yes, this is not. This is not a vibrator, nor does it look like one. This unless.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Vibrator.
Unless you're into that sort of thing, I assume, you know, anything could really be a sex toy if you wanted it to be. This does not lend itself, I think, overtly to being a sex toy.
No. That episode, by the way, was still like, I was walking in New York listening to it and people were staring at me because I was laughing so hard.
I got so many.
It was so good.
I got people reaching out to me like from college being like, cool episode on the vibrator. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, a very popular Kate Bayer with the recommendations. First the Garden Witch overalls, then the magic
She's
wand
killing it.
Vibrator. She's killing it. I'm excited to try this. Like, my back really is a huge problem. Dan has like hip issues. We're like a mess. Like, I think once we turned 30, you know, people joke like, oh, wow, it's all downhill from here. It is kind of all downhill from here. Everything hurts like all the time.
No, I feel you. I'm turning 30 this year, but I got it prematurely. Like after 28, my body just like started rejecting me.
You're an early bloomer.
I'm an early bloomer.
One of my questions for you is, has it changed, you know, what other things are you doing aside from the back buddy to sort of like make yourself more comfortable and feel better? Like, does it change the way that you, like your posture? Do you hunch over at your desk? Are you a little bit more aware of that? Like, how has it sort of like, I don't know, informed how you kind of deal with that pain in situations where you can't easily grab this tool? Because I assume you're not like traveling with it. You're not, you know, like
I'm not
you can't like throw it in your bag. No. Like it's not, it's like a thing for at home. So what do you do when you're like out and about and you're in pain?
So I wish I was more cognizant of like my posture and stuff, because I definitely do hunch when
same.
I'm sitting, driving. Like I, even when I'm driving, like sometimes if my mom's in the car, she'll literally tap my shoulder to like relax it. She's like, why are you hunched while you're driving?
Yeah, like your shoulders are like touching your ears. Like I find that too. It's like
exactly.
Everything's like all up in my head. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I haven't been to physical therapy for my back in a while now, but I used to go and I just got some stretches that really work for me. So if I'm not at home, if I'm traveling, I've honestly done it like in public places where I lay down on my back and I kind of do a bridge and like, you know, pull my hips down one vertebrae at a time and then crack my knees left and right.
Wow.
I definitely have done that in parking lots, on a tennis court before. Like if I have no shame, just because it's like there's nothing worse than like a shooting back pain. Like how are you supposed to do anything? So that's kind of my go-to when I'm not at home. Unfortunately, I wish I had a better, less embarrassing solution.
Look,
but I just get on the ground.
You already have a successful bathing suit company. You're going to business school. You know, make a travel back pain tool. And here's my free idea for
you. I really should.
I'll invest. I clearly need it. What do you think? What do you make of all of those companies that make those like little posture things that you like stick to your back? And it like, I don't think it would help me.
I don't think it would help me either. My brother-in-law's girlfriend, Jenny, really wants to get one. So maybe I'll see if she's studying for the bar right now. So she's doing a lot of sitting and hunching. So I'll text her and see if she actually got one and get her take on it.
Okay.
I personally don't think it would work on me. I don't know. I mean, so I get chronic migraines.
Yes.
I go to a neurologist and get Botox because that's like the only thing that works, at least for me. And I do, when I do get it injected, some of it goes into my shoulders and upper back.
Wow.
Because there's so much muscle tension there that can actually cause migraines. So that helps too.
Have you noticed a huge difference in your migraines since doing the consistent Botox?
100%.
Really?
Yeah, I've been doing it for 5.5 years now. So I started when I was at BI. I was getting 15 to 20 migraines a month. I was getting sick in the bathroom because I would get vertigo at work. Yeah, it was not good. It was very debilitating. So this like totally changed my life. I get maybe like 3 migraines a month now, which is way better than 15 to 20. So
wow.
If anyone wants to talk chronic migraine, DM me and we'll get you set up with a good neurologist.
Yeah, I'm sure people out there are migraine sufferers. I've not been I don't get migraines, but I've gotten bad headaches. And they're so horrible, and I can't imagine anything worse. And I know that migraines are worse, so it's like baffling to me that there's like still no big fix to that.
And it's crazy that the big treatment for it is like poison.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally safe how they do it.
But that's a big thing to do.
A big thing. Yeah. And it's so funny. My friend was getting some cosmetic Botox done and she's like, oh, I got 9 units. How many do you get when you go to see? Because like, what I get is totally covered by insurance. I go to a neurologist. She's like, how many units do you get when you go to a neurologist? And I was like, I honestly don't know. So I asked the next time. I was like, yeah, my friend got 9. How many do I get? She's like, you get 200.
Oh my God. Yeah. Are you going to look like a real housewife? are you even asking like, hey, like, can we make sure that I still look like a human after all is said and done?
I know. I will say 95% of it goes into like the back of my skull and my shoulders.
Okay.
There's like a few shots that go in my forehead. So I will say my forehead does not move.
Okay.
But the rest of my face is very expressive. I think it does enough to make up for the lack of forehead movement, in my opinion. So
were you nervous at all when you started doing Botox when you were like 24?
Yeah. So the more you do it, the more it wears off. So now that I've been doing it for 5 years, like my eyebrows have regained some movement.
Nice. But
in the beginning, my eyebrows did not move. And
so
Wyatt was just like, I don't know if you're mad. I don't know if you're surprised. I don't know if you're happy. He was like very thrown off by
it. Oh my gosh. That is so funny. And now you feel
I've regained some emotion in my eyebrows, thank goodness.
I mean, that is excellent news. I already know that the title of this episode is going to be Bathing Suits, The Back Buddy, and Botox with Lauren Browning.
I love it. Yes.
Lauren, I learned so much about like bathing suits, how to make bathing suits out of recyclable materials. I feel like I actually like took in that information. You told us all about the back buddy, the Botox for migraines. If you guys have questions about that, please hit up Lauren on Instagram. I'll link her Instagram. But I know that you also wanted to extend something special to the G-Thanks listeners. Why don't you let everybody know what that is?
Yes. So if any of you are interested in getting a Ricky Rum bathing suit, and Ricky Rum is RICKIRUM, named, like Caroline said, after my late father, Rick, in honor of him, because he inspired me to get this whole thing going. If you are interested in getting one of those suits, if you want to use the code GTHANKS2021 through the end of the month, it will get you free shipping on your order. And if you have any questions about sizing or anything, just DM us. We'll get back to you right away. Or you can email us, swim@rickyrum.com. You know, our answer to like the one piece, you know, catastrophe of 2018 was that we didn't make one last year because we're like, we still can't get this right. And then this year, we didn't love it. We weren't like 100% confident in it to put it out there. So we're like, what if we made a fake one piece, which is our Katama suit?
Yep.
It's a high-waisted bottom. It is a kind of crop top-esque top.
Yeah.
And it shows just a sliver of skin in the middle, but it really kind of it's our pseudo one piece, you know.
Yeah,
it kind
and that's
of
the
almost
one I
like
have.
A modern tankini.
Yes.
And I love it. I wear the top as a top with high-waisted pants sometimes.
Oh my gosh, so smart. I should do that.
Yeah, like I put like high-waisted pants or shorts, and then I throw like a a jean shirt over it is where that open. Little summer look, in case anyone wants styling tips by me.
I will say too, the thing about that top is I'm always so iffy about tops like that, because always on the models, I'm like, okay, it looks like a shirt on her. And then when I put it on, it like kind of like just like tucks itself under my boobs. That is not the case with the Katama top. It actually does. It hits right above my belly button. And then with the high-waisted bottoms, and I've paired it with both the bottoms that you sent me and then also my favorite high-waisted bottoms from Old Navy that I pair with like all of my bathing suit tops, it does really kind of give, like, it does not ride up. It doesn't get like stuck under my boobs. Mm-hmm. It stays where it's supposed to be. And it really does kind of give me the feeling of like full coverage while also very clearly not being a one piece bathing suit. So I feel like while you're figuring out the one piece, this was such a great alternative. Like I put it on and immediately knew what you were doing and I really loved it. So if that's something that you're looking for, if you've never found a one piece that really like fits your body the way that you want it to, try the Katama suit from Ricky Rum. It is as close as you can get to a one piece while still being a two piece. And I don't know. I exactly. love it. I have it in black rib. It's very chic.
Thank you. No, that's exactly what we were going for. And yeah, I think it's kind of different. It's fun. And I'm glad you like it so much. The black rib, again, the material is super soft.
Yeah.
And I will say one thing though, all of our suits have been reversible to date, and the Katama is, the bottoms are, the tops aren't because of the cups, but I tried it out. I turned mine inside out and it still
works. It still works.
I can't market it as reversible, but it actually, there were no weird seams. So just saying.
You know what? Like if you get the Katama and you turn it inside out to wear it, let us know. I'm interested.
It should still work. Yeah.
It should still work.
Take a picture.
Take a picture. Tag on Instagram. Lauren, thank you so much for coming to Do Thanks Just Bought It. I'm so excited to have you in LA. And I'm so excited that we finally made this episode happen. And congratulations on all of your success.